please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news, where we bring you reader-funded news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
Every single day of the week, all seven, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, bike-worthy, Peloton-watching-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. You know what I realized, Christy? This week, we're not publishing 7 days a week.
I was going to point that out. I was waiting for you to take a breath. But yes, we are taking a little bit of a hiatus from both publishing, you know, in honor of Independence Day in the United States, July 4th and that whole weekend. And also in honor of just our mental health needs.
Yes. Well, today is Tuesday, June 30th, 2020. It is the last day of June. We are well into the summer, Christy. It's official. Can you believe it?
I can and I can't. It's been like this endless day and night of working from home and reading the news about coronavirus and being physically distant from loved ones and friends. We're in Southern California, so our weather is not that different than it was in March when we started this whole process. So it's really, really confusing to me on a psychological level and a spiritual and emotional level. I mean, some parts of it I've been enjoying. I've been enjoying the slowed downness of the time, but I long for my busy social life that I used to have.
Yeah, for sure. I am wrestling right now. I think yesterday you guys heard my rant about masks and my community. I've just found out that the Los Angeles County beaches are all going to be closed. And what happened at the beginning of this closure phase is that I live just a bit north of Los Angeles County. I'm not all the way up in Santa Barbara where Christy is, but somewhere in between. And my Ventura County beaches were flooded with people from LA, and every street, every parking spot on the street, everything was just inundated. And I felt so crowded and everybody else was feeling so isolated, yet I didn't feel like I could walk outside my house because it was so crowded. And so I'm a little worried that this 4th of July weekend that is going to happen again. So I'm just hoping that people go to Orange County. I don't know. I feel very selfish, but I'm a little nervous about having a very, very busy neighborhood again.
Yeah. Yeah. And on the one hand, I can't blame people for really feeling that. On the other, it's just a sign of how human beings are very bad at really understanding risks and dangers unless it's really in their face. We love looking at the sunny side and the, yeah, this won't happen to me. It won't happen to my community, usually at our peril.
Yeah.
So, well, finding that balance between optimism and pessimism and reality is sometimes a challenge. And yes, we're the Optimist Daily, but we do like to acknowledge the risks that are really out in our world, acknowledge the problems, and then think about how to employ actual solutions for those problems. So we love data, we love information, and also positive action.
Well, we had a staff meeting yesterday. We have our Monday staff meetings. And it was funny because we have this team of amazing, extraordinary writers, and everybody was grumpy. It was the most Monday meeting I think we've ever had. You know, sometimes at the Optimist Daily, our team meetings, we consider ourselves like the pessimist hourly, just because you really need a little bit of a steam let off. And so that's what yesterday's meeting was. It was a bit of a steam let off. And so I was not surprised this morning when I bright and early was reading my Optimist Daily to see the headline that I am going to talk about. I think, Christy, you probably found yesterday's team meeting to be pretty funny too.
Of course. And it's always fun. And I think it's really important to be able to say slightly off-color things and express challenging circumstances, let things fly, and then feel the supportive healing of a like-minded community that we have here at the Optimist Daily Writers Room. It's sort of fun. And of course, our editor who's been quarantining in Costa Rica, his flight got canceled again, so he's stuck down there. he should probably look into buying some property, I think.
I think so. No, that was so heartbreaking to read this morning. You guys may have read the Optimist View written by Marvin Lanes, our editorial director, about being marooned or quarantined in Costa Rica. And we all thought he was finally coming home or heading home. He is not. Maybe stuck there until August. Who knows? It just breaks my heart. I wish I could do the super non-green thing and charter a plane and go get him, because it just breaks my heart that he is still stuck there. And, you know, we joke that he will never again want a tropical vacation.
Yeah, we can't feel too bad for him. He's in a pretty decent situation.
Small problems. Very
well,
small.
In the scheme of things, he landed in an interesting place, and it's going to be an interesting year for him, as it is for all of us, the rotten avocado that it is. Let's get to solutions today. The one that I decided to focus on, the headline is Storytelling and Advocacy, How Prison Newsrooms Empower the Incarcerated, and that's in our social justice category in the Optimist Daily. And I think this is a wonderful discussion of a segment of our population which often gets unheard. The voices of incarcerated Americans, not only are they usually silenced, but they're actively silenced. It's a mistake. And partly what happens then is that the people who do end up behind bars, you get a very one-sided view of them. Because yes, they are convicted of crimes, sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, but they are also human beings. They are not just the sum total of the mistakes that they've made. Some of them are really bad guys, bad women, bad men, but a lot of them are just people who ended up in very, very bad circumstances. And the need for prison reform is something which is very, very prevalent in my mind, even as we're talking about need for police reforms. But we really do need to rethink our entire criminal justice system. And getting the inside scoop from these massive prisons is really interesting and essential. There's a podcast that I've been listening to called The Ear Hustle, which is a really interesting one because it gives you insight into what life is like behind bars. This article talks about a number of different prison newspapers. You know, Ear Hustle is a podcast, which is a very interesting one. I'm a huge podcast consumer and now producer, which I love this medium, but print newspaper is also something which has been a major outlet for folks behind bars to just share their experiences, and it's been a driving force in reforms in the past. You know, this is an ancient article that goes through the history of this. I think it's interesting to think about how our perception, how our stereotypes can change how we feel about a different population. I mean, for me, I was a big fan of Orange is the New Black, which was a really interesting series on Netflix, but it makes you understand that people, men and women who are incarcerated, are men and women, in addition to having done crimes or done things which are against the law. And it's really important to respect the law, but it's also really important to respect the humanity of the people who end up being convicted of crimes. And how do we not just throw them away as if they have no value in our society, when in fact, these are a lot of people who actually have a lot of interesting aspects and are totally redeemable, especially when you think about young kids who are being tried and sentenced as adults. Somebody who gets tried and put in prison for the rest of their lives when they're 15 years old, that is a real tragedy, I think.
Yeah, it is a real tragedy. In particular, this article talks about the San Quentin prison and the San Quentin News. Christy, what does the article kind of share with us about the publication? Tell me a little more on that front.
All right, well, the San Quentin News, it's a newspaper that was revived recently, or in the last decade, I think, by Warden Robert Ayers Jr., who had come across old copies of the paper, and then he recruited staff within the prison to bring it back. It was a 4-page long newspaper, the incarcerated staff distributed by hand to each prison cell block, and it's sort of just news within the prison. And San Quentin is also the location of Ear Hustle. So I guess Ear Hustle, that's a name for gossip within the prison. That's kind of how you talk about. It means gossip.
Right.
So it's also located in San Quentin. And that was started by Nigel Poor and Erlone Woods back in, I think, 2016, who were not in prison. But Nigel is a really interesting digital media artist. And Erlone Woods, I think, was somebody who had been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So they went into the prison to actually document the voices and help the prisoners start this podcast, which has won Pulitzer Prizes. It's really a great insight into the prison and life in prison. So San Quentin is sort of on the forefront of putting out this interesting insight into behind bars, what it's there.
It was a great article. It's really fascinating. You and I have talked at length about the concerns of recidivism and the absence of skill building for the incarcerated populations. And I just love this story in particular. As journalists, as you and I are, we highly support storytelling and advocacy through storytelling.
The other thing that I love about it is that it really helps by crafting a new narrative, or, you know, letting us hear other voices. It can help us break down stereotypes, which is another thing that I'm really a big proponent of, is getting out of lazy thinking and getting out of stereotype thinking and opening up to the wide variety of lived experiences in this world, in this nation. And I think everybody's story is interesting.
Yeah. Well, in the same vein, I'm actually switching it up on you here. A different story than I was going to talk about, but I'll still talk about the other one at the end. But in getting out of lazy thinking, there is another solution that's come up. The headline reads, "Competition aims to find solutions to training the post-pandemic workforce." This is from the ideas section. So a competition called the Future of Work Grand Challenge was organized in concert with XPRIZE and MIT. It's a $6 million project that will span over 2 years and aims to rapidly train 25,000 displaced workers and get them into living wage jobs as quickly as possible. And this is part of our Back to Better series at the Optimist Daily. And I feel very excited in reading this one because it is reiterating that we do need to change the way we work. We need to understand that people need real tactical skill training. And when these big competitions happen and there are huge prizes associated, it really can further technology. It can further engagement with, you know, different innovators. And it just gets people into creative thinking. I used to participate in a Science Day hack in San Francisco, where I went up and did a 48-hour hackathon on different science projects. And I myself am not a trained scientist, but I loved participating and bringing the skills that I had to those hackathons. And so I feel like this is a big old work hackathon in how we are going to get back to a better version of work. I like how it goes in concert with the story that you chose, which is about coming up with a new narrative. We need a new narrative for work. But before that new narrative, what do we need, Christy?
Well, two things. Well, first of all, when you talk about, you know, this prize, this coming up with the competition on how do we really improve skills training and how do we create sort of that back to better, it reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever read the book Longitude, but it's a great book by Dava Sobel. It talks about how the prize for coming up with how to really master navigation, it was like the X Prize of the 1300s. And solving that is part of why we were able to get out and explore the entire world back in the day.
Circumnavigate and know
exactly.
That it was not better or worse.
Yeah. Anyway, but in order to really improve lived experience as a worker, one of the things we really need to learn is to know how.
I'm going to jump in here. Okay. Because clearly we need this headline more than anything. The headline simply reads, "How to Know It's Time to Take a Mental Health Day." This is very clearly what we need at the Optimist Daily. It may be what you need as well. It has been a long haul for everyone. And this holiday week that we are going to take a little bit of a break from is both for a retooling of our strategy with the podcast and some of the other content, but it also is because we know these signs are popping up left and right in our team where we're slightly more irritable or we're becoming nonsensical in the podcast, or that we're showing signs of physical stress. So go ahead and read that article. If you are feeling a bit pinched and a bit like it's probably time for you to take a mental health day, check that article out because.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this first sign, it's time to step back, is if you're feeling more irritable than usual. And maybe our staff call yesterday was one a sign of that. Another sign is that your work is unusually sloppy, as I just was showing by tripping over my tongue in trying to read a very simple headline. Sorry, guys. But
well, I think, you know, the Optimist Daily is going to continue to publish, but we'll take the weekend off and we will be taking the weekend off of The View. What I just want everyone to know is that we live in an amazing world and there is an amazing future ahead of us. And here in the United States, we are celebrating liberty and justice for all. And that is what we are here at the Optimist Daily really to continue to seek solutions and tell stories in that vein. I think we probably should just wrap it up and send everybody off on their holiday week. There are other great headlines today. Christy, anything else you want to touch on before we sign off?
I like the concept of a sustainable farming movement in Brazil that's looking to saving the Amazon. That's a great story. The story about surfing being an incredible way to practice mindfulness. That is a wonderful one. Sorry that the beaches are closed off of LA, but there's a reason that people are desperate to get to the beach because getting into the water is a great thing. There's a wonderful story about Black environmentalists uniting to fight climate justice. There's a wonderful story about some good tech from MIT using UVC light to disinfect warehouses. So it's a really interesting and diverse set of stories on the Optimist Daily today. Please go in to read all of today's stories and have a great holiday weekend. And we'll be back with this podcast, I think, on Monday, July 6th.
Indeed, we will. And in the interim, thanks everybody for listening. Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thank you so much, Summers. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you after the 4th.
Bye, guys.